feels like the Last Supper, you know? Last time we're going to meet for a little bit. Let's just have a look at that first scripture straight away. Sarah, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Okay, I might just read it. Here we go. There we go. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, we started a bit of a message here last week, and I said it was going to go for the next couple of weeks. Well, it's going to at least go today now. We'll see what we do about whatever we do online. But, you know, I'll just give you a little bit of a recap. We had a little bit of it in Pastor Sue's word. But, yeah, David is the best example of strengthening ourselves in the Lord. And, you know, he proved that he had a heart after God and that it didn't matter what the circumstances were. I feel like I'm a little bit loud. Is that? No? Okay. It didn't matter what the circumstances were and what situation he found himself in. And we, you know, we talked about many, many, many situations that David found himself in. Very troubling situations where he was hiding, running away, enemy, people wanting to kill him and everything. But it didn't matter what situation he found himself in, even when no one was around and no one was looking, he was strengthening himself in the Lord and he was putting his total trust and confidence in God, because it's that relationship that he had with him that proved to him in times when he couldn't see God's hand, or when it looked like the enemy was trying to contradict every word over his life. You know, that's what the enemy does. He tries to contradict God's word over your life. And when the enemy tries to do that, that's the best time that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord and remind ourselves that God is always faithful and that God never fails us. So today, I want to look at what David used in a lot of ways, and that we see throughout the Psalms, all right, and to strengthen himself in the Lord. There's other ways too, ways that, you know, we'll see how we go after today, but I want to talk about what David did. And so, first of all, if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, let's go there first. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And you might say, well, this is the New Testament. This isn't David. We'll get there. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, giving thanks and all these things listed here, rejoicing, praying, you know, giving thanks or being thankful, it's an act of our will that requires faith during a weakness or time of testing. So it's easy to be thankful when nice things and good things are happening and going on in your life. But, you know, when things aren't that great, sometimes we find it difficult to be thankful. But Scripture says in everything give thanks. You don't give thanks in the bad things, but you give thanks that through the bad things, God has the answer and he will get you through to the other side. So in everything, in every time, whether things are good, whether things are not so good, we're supposed to be giving thanks to the Lord. And I'll tell you, a thankful heart does a lot of good to your morale. And, you know, I can say that personally because, you know, there's times when I didn't feel like being thankful. But, you know, as soon as you start to use that ability to thank God, things start to change and start to, you get this energy in your life where you know God is in control and God loves you and God cares for you. So they're vital tools, these things we just read, you know, for drawing ourselves into heaven and into the presence of God instead of how we feel or what we perceive is happening. So it draws us away from the circumstance and into the presence of God when we have a thankful heart. And it's meant to be continuously ongoing. Everything give thanks. It's not just, you know, when you're in a crisis. And it's good to make a habit of it when you're not in a crisis, because then when those times come, instead of being fearful or angry or disappointed or whatever, you'll be thankful for all the things that God does for you on a continual basis. Thanksgiving honors him because it expresses his goodness to us. You know, Scripture says every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything that we have comes from God. You know, you might think you did something to get it, or you work hard, or you did it, but that job comes from God. Like we heard in the testimony, the fact that it's not losing anything comes from God. Why? Because there's a God person in that cafe. You know, and it's the same where Andrew is, that he brings the light to where he is. You bring the light. So it's a gift from God. Everything in your life is a gift from God. And so just imagine, you know, if it's your birthday or Christmas or something like that, and you unwrap presents, and, you know, you just totally don't say thank you to the person who gave it to you. How would that person feel? Or you might ignore a gift completely. All right, now toddlers are notorious for doing this because they get so many things and then they just rip it apart, and, you know, and you're just waiting. You're waiting to see, what will they think of my gift? I know, oh, I hope they love it. And it's just like, okay, next one. And totally ignore the time and effort you put into that gift. All right, well, God must feel like that sometimes. He has showered us with gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, so many things, you know, our lives, our families, where we live. You know, he showers us with gifts daily, and sometimes we refuse to thank him, or we forget to thank him, or we just completely ignore it altogether. Am I the only one? I don't think so. I think we need to get in that habit. You know, because Thanksgiving keeps us sane, let me tell you, keeps you sane. In Psalm 100, we're going to read it later, but not right now, but Psalm 100 says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. That's where we just come in there. That's the gate to his presence with what? With thanksgiving. It's like, you know, you walk up into someone's door, you knock on the door, and that's your entry right there. You say, hi, how are you? Well, when we get to the gates of heaven, we come with a thankful heart. It says that, you know, we enter with thanksgiving in our heart, because then we're connected with what he is doing in our lives, what he is doing on the earth, rather than our circumstances. Then we get connected with what he's doing in the midst of our circumstances, you know, even through all this stuff, you know, like we're hiding in caves, as we heard. Through all this stuff, he is still doing something in the midst of all this stuff. God is always working. So giving thanks to God is basically taking an inventory of God's gifts in your life. Just, you know, take an inventory often. And, you know, the more you keep counting, it's going to build up in you. And the more you keep counting all the things he does in your life, it will lead us to the next thing that David did often, and that was praise and rejoicing. All right, let's look at Psalm 9, chapter 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High, So here we see praising and rejoicing go together. They're two sides of the same coin. So praise on one side, rejoicing on the other side. You know, to rejoice always means to basically establish a lifestyle of praise. You know, so when you're thanking God for all your blessings and you're counting them all the time, it does start to fill your heart, and there's this sense of joy that comes out, and then you begin to praise God. The thankfulness just explodes into this praise and rejoicing. And you know, the other thing in Zephaniah, I think it's chapter 3, yes, it says he rejoices over us with singing. Did you ever think about that? That God is rejoicing over you with singing? So why not reciprocate? Let's rejoice over God with singing. You know, we did this one. I don't know about you, but when I get in here and we start singing, we praise God, you know, even if I haven't had a great week or if I didn't feel 100% or whatever through a week, it just lifts you because there's something about getting that focus. This is what it's about, changing your focus from you and your circumstances and getting that focus into heaven and the presence of God. And there's something about that rejoicing and just thinking about, wow, you know, he's rejoicing over me with singing. I'm going to rejoice over him with singing. And if you pull the Hebrews one up, Sarah, Hebrews 13, 15. Bit of trouble this morning, but that's okay. That's why I always bring it with me, just in case. All right, Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do you know sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise? It says we should be offering the sacrifice of praise to God. You know, prior to that, you know, because it says therefore, prior to that, it was talking about how Jesus suffered for us outside the gate with his own blood. Therefore, it says, let us go to him outside the gate, bearing his reproach, for there we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, since we don't have to sacrifice our blood, right? Since we don't have to pay the price he did, therefore, we should make our praise a sacrifice to him. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks, there it is again, to his name. So, you know, David did a lot of thanksgiving and praise and rejoicing. We're going to look at some more Psalms in a minute. You know, it was part of his life. David was a worshiper as a lifestyle. And, you know, we need to be worshipers as a lifestyle. Constantly thinking of God, constantly being in his presence, talking to him, thanking him, getting his ideas on things, just having that fellowship with the Lord, rejoicing over him as he rejoices over us. And then there's the next thing. Now we're going to go to Psalm 100. I might flip to it in here. Oh, we got it. Okay. All right. Make a joyful shout. Everybody say shout. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter, here it is again, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. One, into his courts. Okay, we're going a little deeper in, right? So we come to the gates with thanksgiving. Then we go into the wow. We're coming into the Holy Holies with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I think that's the last one, isn't it? Okay, so we come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And at the beginning of that verse, so, you know, going backwards here, it said shout to the Lord. Okay, think about it. There isn't a power in this earth that doesn't come with a loud noise. All right, earthquake, very loud. Avalanche, very loud. Airplane, rocket, comes with a loud noise. You know, sometimes we feel a bit weird being too loud. I have a loud mouth, you know, and I've copped it at times because I don't know, it's just who I am, you know, and sometimes people say, quit shouting, and I think, I'm not shouting, it's how I talk. All right, so I'm not saying, you know, but what I'm saying is, generally, things with power come with a big sound. You can't remove sound from the power because they go hand in hand. Let me tell you, if you want power in your life, you're going to have to make a great sound. We were making it this morning in Raise a Hallelujah. You want power, you're going to have to make a great sound. The first thing that the enemy wants to take from you is your sound or your voice. That is the first thing. If he can get you to where you are depressed, discouraged, isolated, let me tell you, we may be a bit isolated from each other over the next several weeks, okay? Don't let the devil take your voice. Don't let him steal your sound. We have numerous examples in the Bible that the sound comes before manifestation. Okay? You hear the sound before you actually see what's happening. Even with the earthquakes, a lot of times they'd hear this rumble. Something would happen. They'd, whoa, what's that? And then the things would start to shake, and then boom. Okay? You hear the sound, and then there's the manifestation. All right, so in the Bible, you know, in Elijah, let's take Elijah. If you don't make the sound, nothing's going to happen. You know, you need victory in something in your life, you need to make the sound. The praise, the joy, the thanksgiving, the shout to the Lord. All right, Ahab, I put a few examples down here. Elijah told Ahab that he could hear the sound of abundant rain. Ahab didn't hear anything. He said, I hear the sound of abundant rain. And then he went up Mount Carmel, you know. And so he sent to his servant, go out and check. Came back, nothing. 7 times Elijah sent his servant out to check to see if there was any rain coming. 7 times. And he came back on the 7th time and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, go tell Ahab, hurry up, go, because the rain's coming. What? What happened? The rain came. And so much, look, it's funny when you read it, because Elijah actually surpassed Ahab's chariot running to get to Jezreel first. So, you know, he saw it with the eyes of his faith. All right, so, you know, he heard the sound of the abundant rain before it came. Sometimes in your life, you got to hear that sound and you got to make that sound before you actually see what it is you're looking for in your life. All right, another one, Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. All right, so the 3 armies were coming against him. I think it was Edom, Ammon, and Moabites. They were coming against Jehoshaphat, three armies, right? And it says in the scripture, he was afraid. So he went to God and said, what do you do? Like right now, it feels like all these enemies are coming against us. The economy, the coronavirus, you know, what do we do? God, you know, I feel afraid. All right, so, you know, the Lord says, you know, I'm going to take care of it. Right, go out. And so he says to his army, he says, right, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to start out, I'm going to put the praisers out the front. Right? You go out, and they started singing praise to God and the goodness of God and the love of God, right? Out the front. So what happens? The sound came first. The sound of praise. The sound of joy. They were afraid. They thought, you know, there's three armies coming against them. But the sound went out first, and they praised in the midst of the enemy attack. And what happened? God confused the sound. God confused the enemy, and they started against one another and annihilated one another. Boom. From the sound. The sound came first. Another one. I won't be too much longer. Another one, the walls of Jericho. Now, we all know the story of the walls of Jericho. You know, they had to march around so many times, totally quiet. Say nothing. Sometimes you have to say nothing if what's coming out of your mouth is crap and negativity. Right? So if you need, I know, I use my daughter's word. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's right. At least I didn't use that one. Like, yeah. You know, sometimes that's all that's coming out, and you need to just shut up. Just be quiet in his presence. But what happened the seventh time around? See, once you get into God's presence, you hear what he's saying. He gives the direction. The seventh time around, those walls are still up there, man. They're big, they're high, they're around the entire city. God's told them, you know, you're going to get this, you're going to have it. They went around seven times, you know, six times or whatever, and nothing happened. You know, I've got to do this again the next day. I've got to do this again the next day. Shh, don't say anything. I've got to do this again. And then all of a sudden, seventh day, right, shout. Walls are still there. Would you think that shouting would have brought those walls down? At that stage, after you walked around that entire city every day, that many times? No. But they made a shout, and the walls came down. Sometimes we're too quiet. Look, you know, look, I know there's different personalities, and I understand that. But right throughout the Bible, it talks about making a noise to the Lord. Shouting before God, praising him, rejoicing in him. You know, you got to give a shout sometimes. And, you know, let the enemy, it scares off the enemy, man. It just puts him in place. And then there was Ezekiel's dry bones. Here they are, dead bones. Who knows how long they'd been there. It wasn't until he started prophesying on them. You know, God said, prophesy. What? To the dead bones? Prophesy. You know, and he prophesied and spoke life into those bones. Once you open up your mouth, if you've been in the presence of God, what's going to come out is prophesying, not negativity. You know, shout to the Lord. Prophesy to your situation. And in Acts chapter 2 as well, all right, what came before they started speaking in tongues? A rushing mighty wind. The sound came, then the manifestation came. And we're living in a day and age where we need to make a holy roar. I love that song from, what's his name? Tomlin. Is it him? Yes. Holy roar. We need to make a holy roar. We have an awesome God. Holy roar. And shout. You know, we like to see the manifestation first. You know, we want to see it all go away and then thank God and then praise God and, you know, see everything change and see, you know, our bodies healed totally and our finances straightened out. We want to see it all first and then praise God, but he's saying, no, it's the other way around. Praise me because you know I'm faithful. You know, if we begin, if we continue to praise him, it says he inhabits the praise of his people. That means he lives in it. He lives in your praises. So if he's living in that, his atmosphere is just all around you and all the things that you're involved in, and he inhabits it. So, you know, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who's redeemed today? I'm redeemed. Let's say it. Let's put it out there. You know, you put your voice out there. Like we said, the manifestation follows. And the more, no matter what your circumstances are, the more you put that sound out there, the more you put your voice out there, during, like David did it all the time. The more you do that, then the your voice directs the circumstances. All right? So it will follow. It'll begin following the sound that you're making. All right? So when a car moves, the car goes this way. Does the sound go this way? No. The sound goes with the car, follows the car. Same with a plane. All right? Your sound, the answers are going to follow the sound of your voice, positive or negative. You will direct it with your sound. Right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The sound follows wherever it's going. Like the sound precedes manifestation, but it goes wherever that power, wherever that vehicle is, it goes with it. So it's going to direct. It's going to direct that life, you know, that thing. So, you know, let's just close up with some Psalms here. Okay, now I've got Psalm 8:2 in the NIV. Are you able to get that one up? All right. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And I want to read that in the TPT. Do you get that? All right, I got it. I didn't know if you still got it. This is what the Passion Translation says. You have built a stronghold by the songs of babies. Are we his children? Yes. Strength rises up with the chorus of singing children. People, strength. Well, there used to be a song, we'd sing, strength will rise. No, 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 no. I never really liked it because I felt it was monotonous, but the words are good. When you wait upon the Lord, that's what it was. Strength will rise when you wait upon the Lord. Strength rises up with the chorus of singing children. This kind of praise, listen to this, has the power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. There is a praise that silences the enemy. Freezes them. That's it. You keep praising God and you speak the word of God and you talk about the goodness of God. It silences it. It silences the enemy. It makes him inactive. But then there's the shout. And in Hebrew, the word for shout means to take an enemy apart piece by piece. Piece by piece. So you're going to thanksgiving and praise. There's a praise that silences the enemy. You're going to make them inactive. And then you're going to shout to the Lord and take them apart piece by piece. Just rip them to shreds. You know, I just think, yeah, that's it. You know how sometimes you just get so aggro in your life and you're so tired of, you know, you might be getting one hit after another, after another, after another. You think, that's it. You know, and the shout comes, I'm ripping you apart piece by piece. Just tearing you apart. You know, that's the level of shout we want to get to. Look, that kind of shouting, that kind of intensity, it's intense. How many of you go to a game and sit quiet? You're not going to a game now. So instead of shouting at the game, shout to the Lord. You don't sit quiet at a game. And, you know, I've been at live tennis games, but they're a bit quieter. But not at night. Not at night. They're pretty, whoa, at night, okay? But I've been to a live ice hockey game. Oh, my goodness. Whew. It was exhilarating, like, you know, the noise that went on in that place. And I'm telling you, you get that in the presence of God, it's intense, and you feel it. You go home, you know, you're almost exhausted when you get home, but that's when the things happen. We may not be able to praise together for a few weeks, but let me tell you, you can make a joyful shout to the Lord in your homes. Please do not let praise and worship leave your home over the next several weeks. Please watch your words. Please, whatever we set up, we'll let you know. Please take part and please join in. That's all we can say, you know, to you now. We're going to end with Psalm 98. First of all, verses 4 to 8. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. This is all David. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar. Let all the fullness and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it, let the rivers clap their hands. Think about it, rivers clapping their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Psalm chapter 5. But let all those who rejoice, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. So we're going to rejoice. Let them ever do what? Shout for joy. Because why? You defend them. God defends you, church. He defends you through all this mess. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. You are surrounded in the favor of God. You are kept safe. You do the right things. You obey the laws of the land. But when all else fails, and before all else fails, God is in control. God will keep you safe. We're going to say, I know you're going to hate me for this, but we got to sing Raise a Hallelujah before we finish. Right? I asked them to put that song on the list today. And when we sing this song, I would like you to really make it. We're going to raise a hallelujah against what's happening in the world today, right? Because God can make a quick work of this. There's been prophetic messages, you know. You're not going to hear this on the news, so I'll tell you. There's been prophetic messages from more than one person. I've read a few of them, right, that predicted this a couple years ago. Joseph Pence, I think, predicted it in 2018, right? And so predicted it, and every single one said that it would be a short work. God would make a short work, it will be annihilated in a short time. You know, you got to be careful. I'm not saying it's not serious, okay? But you need to be careful about the fake news or the media, because they will propagate it to make it keep going, because it gives them something to talk about. You know? So just keep your mind on the Lord. Rejoice. Make a joyful shout unto the Lord. And we're going to raise our voices today, because we know then the manifestation is going to come. Amen? We're going to raise a hallelujah in the midst of the enemy. And I want you to be focusing in your spirit on the coronavirus, what's happening in the world, and all our loved ones. And just, you know, keep that shout going over our families. Amen.